The 1895 podcast is brought to you by Off the Ball, official media partner of Shelburne FC. The 1895, the official Shelburne podcast, exclusive to Patreon.
The ball sinks in towards where Jamie Rogers is up. Rogers sees the left!
I'm angry, Tony, I have to be honest.
Murray! Marjorie Shelburne! Noelle Murray! Has she won it for the Reds? What a goal!
Here's a chance up! Shane Farrell! And Shelsley 2-0!
I'm sorry, Tony, but I'm angry as well. I was angry before the game. I've been angry for a long time.
And she gets the winning goal here. Slattery! Oh. Into the back of the net! That is what champions do! That is what winners do! Pearl Slattery!
Over the top by Sullivan. Hughes, goal! Shelburne lead!
His cross, Stephen Regan!
Kilduff is the substitute and he scored! Shell's lead!
We are in to the 94th minute
and it's all over! Shelburne FC are first division champions!
It's our just reward. We deserve this big time.
Here's your host, Stephen Doody.
Hello and welcome to the official podcast of Shelburne Football Club, the 1895 podcast, as always brought to you in association with our proud media partner, Off the Ball. You are joined this week not by Steve Doody, as he is on holiday, as so I believe, in Florida. Instead, you're joined by myself, Adam Leonard, often heard on LOI TV, commentating on the women's games and the men's games. And today, I am joined for a podcast debut by a man who's often not seen, but the media work he does in behind the scenes is not going unnoticed. I'm joined today by Adam Fahey. Adam, how are you?
Not bad, Adzi. Thanks for the intro. Making me sound pretty good anyway.
a fellow soon-to-be fellow Maynooth graduate. Of Indicate Band as well. Check them out on Instagram. I'm gonna give it a cheap plug. Someone has to do it for you. You're too modest to do it yourself.
So I'll give you that brown envelope later.
Cheers, Bertie. we'll crack on. So last week Steve had Darren's brother Ben Cleary on for the first time for his debut. And as we know, as tradition with this podcast, when the debut comes, there's questions that come with the debut. I think I got asked all these questions when I jumped on for the first time last season. So, Adam, I'm going to have to ask you these questions. I'll help you along. I'll answer them with you. We'll be all right together. Is that okay with you?
Yeah, fire away. I forgot about this, to be honest.
It's on the spot, but it's not really on the spot. So, first of all, how did you start going to Shell's games?
I suppose it's the same as kind of everybody else. Like my dad went to them when they played up in Harold's Cross, and then obviously I think he stepped away from it for a while, and then when we were growing up he was kind of like, bring me and the brothers down to the football, you know. And the other two lads are kind of blow-ins now with the Premier for the big games, but it just kind of stuck with me, and I've been going for a good while now.
Yeah, I think everyone kind of has a similar story, don't they? They're just brought by, I think Ben said Darren brought him for the first time. I think I was brought by my dad, myself and Dave. And it's one of those things, you either take to it or you don't. And here we are now, 20 years later, still miserable.
Yeah, I was just going to say, unfortunately, we're still here.
So I suppose with that, what is your earliest memory of Shells?
Oof, I don't know, to be honest. That's a tough one. Jeez, I should have prepared this.
The point of it is, so you can prepare. I think when I was doing this with Stay and Darren, I think I said my first memory was walking to Talca and hearing the Champions League music playing. So that would have been for the games against the likes of Hajduk Split or whatever.
I see.
My first memory, you know.
I didn't really get down to them now. You're a few months older than me, to be honest now. So,
yeah, true.
I have a terrible memory. I probably like 2011, maybe, when I'd say the cup final against Sligo. That's the last like kind of clear memory I can think. Yeah. The penalty shootout.
Jeez, what a day.
Yeah, stop.
I remember coming out of the Aviva that day, and for some reason, and this is nothing against the announcer in the Aviva, I'm sure he's a lovely bloke, but I just have a hatred for him since. And when I'm at the Aviva now, and I hear him like announcing the teams and stuff, I'm like, oh, it brings you back. It's like flashbacks to Vietnam, you know.
Stop! I don't think I've had a single good footballing experience in the Aviva.
Oh, don't start, man. Don't start. red or white shorts to go with your home jersey, but Adam.
I know some of the older guard like the white, but I kind of like the all red.
Right. Yeah. Any reason why?
Don't know. It's just more pleasing on the eye, I think. You know. Also, Johnny doesn't have to wash them out.
Good man. You're looking arse. We're already looking arse. sitting or standing at again.
Ah, standing.
It's different, isn't it? It's, yeah. You have to.
You can't beat it.
No. Your worst Shells memory?
Probably sitting in my bedroom watching us get relegated in 2020.
Oh, man. I think Ben said something similar last week. I nearly called you, Ben, there about 40 seconds ago. Apologies about that. But I remember that as well, man. It was so grim. It was, being relegated is awful. But if you're there, you can almost, I don't know, take it in a bit better. But sitting at home, looking at it on LOI TV was so grim. Your best Shells memory?
My best Shells memory would probably be the year before Drogheda, 2019.
Oh, stop.
What was that? Was that September the 13th, was it? It was a Friday the 13th.
Friday the 13th, yeah. I remember, yeah. And I think a lot of people say that. I think definitely could be recency bias that play, but that's my favourite game of football ever, so I really don't blame you either.
We were on the bus up, and I just had the worst feeling in my stomach, you know, in classic Shells pessimism.
Yeah.
You're just like, I thought it was, destined to be ruined anyways.
Yeah, well, it's funny you say that. I remember going down with me dad and my brother, and we were driving down, and we were going through the port tunnel and everything, and I don't know why, I had a pretty good feeling about it, because we had played them in the playoffs the year before, and I'm pretty sure we either beat them or drew with them in Drogheda, and I was just, I don't know what it was, and I'd be like yourself, I'd be very pessimistic, and I'd be like, I just remember saying to my dad, I was like, I think we're going up here. And then obviously, typical Shells fashion, one up and then back to one all. And then obviously, Drogheda get someone sent off. And then Oscar Brennan, Larkin Fitzgerald. It was just a whirlwind of a day.
Oh, stop.
Your favourite away day?
I'd probably go Cork away.
Why? Jesus.
Yeah.
Why?
I don't know. To be fair, I don't know. Just good memories again. Especially same season, the 2020 season, when Kilduff scored in the last minute and everyone just went Valentine's Day, everyone just went flying down the steps, and it was just, I had my nose busted open after celebrating the goal, and it was just you can't beat it.
You really can't.
No.
There's something about away days, I think, in general. Like, you build relationships and all, like, I've been on a few buses and you just get talking to random people that you know from going to games, and it just stays with you. Your least favourite away day?
Least favourite? It's gone now, but I always hated going to Cabo.
Oh.
I'd say between Cabo and UCD is my least favourite.
Yeah. Oh, God. Do you know what? The UCD bowl is just a bowl of misery. Oh, God. And do you know what? What I will say is they often play great football, but I can't remember a performance out there where I've gone, that was a great performance, or, you know, we did really well there. It's always such a tough away ground to go to. Like,
I was just going to say to you, I can't remember. When was the last time we won in the ball?
I couldn't tell you.
Something for Red Stats to maybe find out, but
Kev would definitely know.
I haven't a clue.
Yeah. I just actually meant to say there, Sporting Fingal goal, by the way, was an underrated away ground. Obviously, they're gone as well. It's just because you said Cavendish are gone. Remember going out there years ago? I think it would have been 2008, 2009 in the playoff. And it could have been 2010 maybe. Fucking great away ground. Your favourite current player?
Favourite current player would be... Go for JR.
JR. Yeah, JR and himself and Tyreek are great, aren't they?
The Super Smash Bros down both of the wings, you know?
Oh, God. That's the only note you had ready for this, wasn't it? Wes Houlihan or Tony Sheridan?
I didn't get to see either of them in a Shells jersey, to be fair. Mm. But I'd probably go for Wes just because I got to see him in an Ireland jersey, you know?
Yeah. I think when I did this with Stay and Darren, I think I said Wes as well. But I've worked with Shero since, and he's a wealth of knowledge, and he's just great crack. Do you know what I mean? It's always a pleasure being up in the gantry with him.
To be fair, you see him a lot in around Talca Park as well. So
yeah, he's a proper red, in fairness to him. Wes was a great player though as well. Are you a night out kind of guy or a night in with the gals?
Night in with the gals, I'd say.
Your favourite away shirt?
Favourite away shirt would probably be last year's one with all the season ticket names on them. Like, that's, it was a class jersey.
Mm. And you know what? It was a weird thing at the start of last season. There was a weird spirit about Shells coming back up to Premier Division where I think we struggled at home. I think the first game was 3-0 away to Pats, and or 3-0 home to Pats, sorry. And I think we lost to Derry at home and Rovers. And they were narrow defeats. I know 3-0 probably suggests otherwise. But away form, I remember we won in Drogheda, our first away game, and we wore that jersey down there. And I genuinely thought there was something like magical about that jersey to an extent, with all the names of the people there. You know, there's people there who names on the jersey who, you know, aren't with us anymore, and then obviously everyone who's been with us the whole way through. I completely agree with you there. Your favourite Shells player of all time?
Favourite Shells player of all time would have to be Philly Hughes.
Great show, Philly Hughes.
His goal in the cup final as well. Yeah. Great finish.
The Saints, man. The Saints when that went in. The great names in the Aviva. Do you remember his goal? I think it was the first game. Obviously, it would have happened after the cup final. It was at home to Sligo, our first game back in the Premier Division. I think it finished 2-2. But he scored a free kick in the game. And I remember vividly at the time never celebrating a goal as much in my life at that point. But he scored the free kick. He was a cracking player, Philly is.
I have a moment like that as well. Do you remember was the first game of the season a few years ago against, was it Longford, 3-3, and Davy O'Sullivan scored the penalty in the last minute?
Yeah, I
think that's, apart from Drogheda, I think that's my most celebrated goal I've ever celebrated in my life.
Yeah. Oh, it's mad the things you remember, man, especially following Shells around. Your favourite artist / your favourite song of all time? Now, this is a tough one. It's a very vague one. But you are an artist yourself, so I suspect you have an answer for this.
It's a very vague term used there for me, artist. I don't know. That's a tough question. There's loads of good ones. I definitely couldn't pick a favourite song, but if I was to pick a favourite artist, I'd either go for Arctic Monkeys or, do you know, Catfish and the Bottlemen.
Catfish and the Bottlemen, I do indeed. A few tunes on FIFA.
I was just going to say the tune on FIFA that got me into them. Mm. Yeah, I'd probably go for Catfish, yeah.
Alex Turner as well, he's suave, isn't he? Last question.
A bit like yourself.
Oh, come here, tell me about it. Last question. For it is, you have a choice of Shelbourne winning the Champions League or Ireland winning the World Cup. What are you going for?
Champions League, man.
All day.
Man, that's no hesitation.
Yeah. You'd often see on Twitter, especially with England fans, because they're going, well, like, they got far in the World Cup or whatever. They're like, where's the pride, you know? We'd rather win the World Cup didn't win the Champions League, but Luton or something, come on. You'd obviously pick your club all day. For me, anyways, I would.
Nah, I think you'd be a fool not to, like, especially if you're, like you're saying with the England fans, if you're a Forest Green fan, you know?
Yeah. you must be playing Football Manager today, right?
I was, man. I have too much spare time now.
well, that's the last question. I think you've done reasonably well there, to be fair to you.
I survived.
You just about survived. It's been a good podcast debut so far, but there's still plenty of time for it to go wrong. So we'll move on. We'll move on now to the weekend that was in the League of Ireland for Shells and the Women's Premier Division and Men's Premier Division. I suppose we'll start off with the women's side. A 2-0 victory over DLR Waves. Gemma Quinn on the score sheet twice. A good win for Shells, Adam.
Yeah, obviously, it's a great win too, especially we need to keep up towards the top of the table. You know, we've had one or two results that haven't gone the way that we would have wanted them to, but like that, it's just it's good to kind of keep it back on track. Gemma Quinn with the brace, great composure, kind of a solid performance all around, you know.
Yeah, I think it's been a strange season so far for Shells. You know, looking at the table, 6 wins, 1 draw, 2 losses. The losses coming against, I think one was against Galway, which is, Galway have been great so far this season in Tolka. And then the loss away at Wexford, which is very interesting because since that win for Wexford over Shells, they haven't been great. They've lost against Bowes and now obviously they picked up a win against DLR. But overall the season, Wexford haven't been great. There's been the games away at Bowes, where Shells, you know, got the 2-0 win, a home to Rovers on Paddy's weekend, which was the standard of football that day was very, very good. But yeah, it's been a bit of a strange season so far. I'm not gonna say they're struggling because they're not, but I think they're definitely grown into the season. Like there was a lot of people gone and there's a lot of new bodies coming in. But yeah, what have you made of it so far this season?
I think you've kind of described it perfectly. I wouldn't say we're having a, I'm going to sound like a parrot now, I am, but like, it's like we haven't had a bad season considering, like you're saying, the ins and outs. And yeah, every team has to adapt or have that gelling period. It looked like at the start that we wouldn't need that gelling period after the first game. Was it 6-0, was it?
6-0 against Cork, yeah.
Yeah, but it's, look, it's most teams need it. Like, I think we'll manage. We'll be all right. We'll be up there towards the top of the table towards the end of the season, pushing on. I think we'll make it 3 in a row.
Yeah, I wouldn't put it past you. Like, if you look at the side, the start of the weekend in Galway, obviously, again, was Courtney McGuire. She's played 9 times this season. Every game for Shells, she has 5 clean sheets and 100% aerial duels won. And her distribution's been very good from the back, 96% accuracy and short passing. So you have Courtney McGuire coming in last season. She was with the Shells Academy, was with Bowes, and she's back at Shells now. Amanda Budden was the one who left Shells, and obviously she's with Rovers now. It was a big spot to fill, but she's done a very good job so far, hasn't she?
Yeah, 100%. Like you were saying, like Amanda Budden was, how many seasons was she with us?
A couple of seasons, I think 2 or 3, wasn't
yeah.
it?
Yeah, and she was always calm as you like, you know. She was fairly solid, kind of cemented her place there into a team that won 2 leagues in a row and a league and a cup double. Like, so it's always going to be big shoes to fill, but Maguire's done great.
Yeah, she has. And then, like, you move on to the fullbacks, so obviously Kiva Keenan and Leah Doyle. I think Kiva's been, has had such a good career so far, obviously playing abroad with the likes of Celtic and Glasgow. And, you know, she has that experience of playing in big games and she has that kind of big match, you know, as I said, experience, and she likes the challenge, and she's taken on the challenge this season of playing right back in a team that last season had Jess Garrigan. Obviously, she's now gone to Rovers, but Jess Garrigan set such a high standard last season at right back, and I think Kiva slotted in well. On the other side, you have Leah Doyle, who again has come into the side, having replaced Chloe Mustaki, who's gone over to Bristol. These two are really two of the stalwarts in the team at the minute, in a team that really relied on fullbacks last season, and these two haven't let the standards drop.
Yeah, and I think another thing to add is that we didn't need to go and externally recruit. It just shows that we had great squad depth anyways for Kiva and Leah to just slot in when the other two departed, you know?
And it was the return of Jesse Stapleton on Saturday against DLR, partnered up beside Maggie Pierce from North Carolina University. Maggie's had an unbelievable season so far. She's slotted in everywhere. I think she's played up front, she's played in midfield, and now she's playing at centre half. Good friend of mine, good friend of the show, good friend of Shells, Shauna Cook, gave our player the match on Saturday. She just shows great composure. She shows real intelligence on and off the ball. Her position's usually spot on, and her distribution on the day was very good. I think she played a part in the second goal, I believe. Yeah, how good has she been since coming in?
Oh, she's been class. Unfortunately, I didn't get to see the game against DLR due to work commitments, but from the games that I have seen, she's been class, and that's what you need in a team. You need someone who's versatile, who can fill in if we're short numbers, if we're injured anywhere. She can slot into different places. She can nearly control the game while she's in the middle of the park. You know, it's great to have someone who's been able to do all of those things and do them well, you know?
Yeah, and we could be here, I suppose, nearly doing a whole podcast about her, about Jessie Stapleton, and her partner on the day came back. I believe it was a concussion, wasn't it? Not too long ago. Yeah. Very, very solid upon her return. Didn't look like she lost a step, was very quick, agile, everything that she usually is. I believe potentially the highest ceiling for a younger player at the club at the minute. You move on elsewhere and towards the team, you have Christy Gray on the right. Again, herself and Kiva Keenan, I think they're working on a relationship on the right hand side. But Christy, she really showed a lot of potential on the day, really direct running. Got her first goal the week before against Athlone, and she's just been very good since coming in.
Yeah, 100%. It's always tough, you know, especially like you were saying there, coming in from America, like when you're moving to another country, so you'd find it hard, like some people would find it hard to settle, you know.
Mm.
But it doesn't seem that way, you know.
Yeah, there's a lot of them that have come in from the States and Canada, isn't there, over the break, and I think they've banded together really well. And they've come in, like Kayla Hammer got a few minutes towards the end of the game. She started the season with two goals against Cork as well. So, like, there's very good talent here. Like, you look at the midfield, what can we not say about Alex Calvin and Rachel Graham that's not already been said? You know what I mean? I think everyone knows her qualities. Alex, she's been at the club since she's been 11. Rachel's just a stalwart, like, plays the game at her pace and usually plays the game incredibly well. On the left was Megan Smith Lynch. I think she's Shell's top scorer this season. Looked very confident out there. Great Maisie runs, taking on her opposition every time she could. She's definitely come on since last season.
Yeah, 100%. You can see the confidence difference, you know. You can see it's nearly night and day between last season and this season, where maybe last season you could kind of see her getting a bit frustrated or maybe not feeling that she could get the chances or put away the chances that we know that she can going by this season, you know.
Yeah, I remember I think she got a goal last season against Cork towards the end of the season that I think it was a winner as well. Without that goal, we wouldn't have won the league. And I think, I actually believe since then, because she's just been immense and she's grown in confidence, and obviously she's working with the FAI now as well, so she's just been having a great season. Noelle Murray, again, much like Alex and Rachel, what can't you say about Noelle? She's great effort again, great quality, lots of lovely little passes again. She'd probably be disappointed for not getting a goal, but she didn't need to get a goal on the day because we had Gemma Quinn up front, her first two goals of the season. Do you want to run us through the goals, Adam?
I saw them there on the highlights. The composure is brilliant. You know, the first one, especially when she rounds the keeper, just to keep a cool head, keep it calm and slot it in after you round the keeper. Like, there's a lot of players that would maybe fall under that pressure, but like when you have someone like Gemma who, you know, has that calm head about her and already knows what she's going to do, it makes it so much easier, you know?
Yeah, and the second goal as well, it's just a great bit of play. She gets through, slots it in, and like, I think Gemma herself puts in so much effort, and I've seen an interview with her with the WNL show, is still named, and she's just saying, you know, all she needs is one goal to get going, and she's waited a while for it, she has, but, you know, she started the season off with a bit of an injury, and then she obviously had to walk her way back into the team with all the new additions, so it was great to see her on the score sheet. I think I said to Shauna on the day, will we see a Gemma Quinn goal, because we hadn't seen one up to that point. And yeah, really good performance from her. The subs used in that day were Nadine Cleary, Carrie Lettman, Bo XDLR, they came off Alex and Christy Gray, Taylor White and Kayla Hammer getting a good run out as well for Megan Smith-Lynch and Noelle Murray. And then the last one, a very interesting one, Hannah Healy on for Gemma Quinn. Such a young player, but such a good prospect. I think she looked very composed. You'd know she's a part of the underage setup for Ireland as well. She looked really good. And again, I think it just shows how good this Shells Academy is.
Yeah, 100%. I was just going to say to you there, like, you look through the last couple of seasons, you see all the young talents coming through, and it's great to see. Like, it's the amount of ballers, you know, in the academy. It's
men and women.
Yeah, especially on the in the women's academy, like, because you see how young some of the players coming through are, like, you know, it's kind of mad, you know, how we just seem to keep finding them, you know. One person moves on, another one comes in and nearly fills their boots, you know.
Yeah, it's great. It's just a testament to the, you know, the underage team and who's looking after that. It's just really great. And I know every time I'm talking to Sean, shows us good things to say about the academy, the people leading, the people coaching. So yeah, I suppose a massive shout out to them as well for keeping us going. But yeah, a good 2-0 win for Shells, which sees them stay at the minute in third in the league. As I said, 9 played, 6 wins, 1 draw and 2 losses. Third behind Rovers and Peamount, who, to be honest with you, I'm quite surprised that they are where they are, given who they've lost in the off season. But with players like Karen Duggan, Aaron McLaughlin, Tara O'Hanlon, like, it's still such a quality side. But Shells will look to, I suppose, bridge the gap between themselves, Rovers and Peamount as the season goes on. And that'll start this Saturday away to Sligo Rovers, live on LOI TV. The game kicks off at 5 o'clock. The league is so tight, man. The competition in this league is mental. You have Bowes and Galway, who traditionally might have been up there, but they're giving a real good whack this season. And you have obviously Athlone and Wexford, who are, you know, about 6 points behind Shells. But like, that's 6 points. That's 2 wins, realistically speaking. This league is so tight.
I mean, a lot of the, like you're saying, this league is really tight. So a lot of those games would be 6-pointers, you know. So like, you can't really. No team really can afford to slip up, you know, because everyone's kind of chasing each other down. Like, everyone's going for each other's necks, and it's for us, anyways. It's really exciting stuff, you know. But for the players, they just have to, I suppose, keep doing what they're doing. They can't afford really to have a lapse in concentration or anything.
Mm. Well, that's the thing. I think Shells have set the standard in the Women's Premier Division, the WNL, whatever you would like to call it, over the past few seasons. And I think at times they're victims of their own success. Like, if you look at those first 9 games, if you said 1 loss and 2 draws and 6 wins, you'd go, yeah, no, that's fairly good. That's actually really, really good. But the standard that Shells have set, they've kind of dropped off Peamount and Rovers so far. Sean was saying on Saturday that she thinks Rovers are going to be really strong. You know, we're more or less halfway through the season now, because there's only 18 games this season in the league with the World Cup. So it's a half a season, essentially. You know, I think anyone from 7th onwards can win this league. And I think it just shows the standard in the women's football in Ireland, man, to be honest with you.
Yeah, it did. It's only going to get better, you know. Especially with the performance of the women's national team will undoubtedly draw more eyes to the actual domestic game here, you know, and people will actually see, hold on, there's a quality product here, like, you know, in our own back doorstep for men and women, you know.
Yeah, absolutely. And it's only good for the women's game, you know. And I always say I was lucky last year to get the chance to work and be able to watch the women's game every week. You were with me, obviously. You were the one behind the camera and stuff like that, and it's such a pleasure at times because the team is so good. I think they'll say themselves they probably haven't hit the standard they reached last year, but there's still games to be played. I think Shells have 10 games left, if I'm not mistaken, so there's still time left. So yeah.
And if there's anything we've learned from the last 2 years is that we love a good love a good final day.
Absolutely.
Final day title win. So.
100%. But yeah, as I said, that game awaits Sligo on the Showgrounds live on LOI TV, kicking off at 5 o'clock on Saturday. I believe there's tickets available on the gate in Sligo for anyone who wishes to travel down. And yeah, I suppose we move on now. A great segue. Fair play to me, I'll have to say now, that was good. Shells away to Sligo on Saturday evening just passed.
You a commentator or something, man?
Shelbourne 3, Sligo Rovers 0, the Jack Moylan show.
Oh man, the outrageous. What is going on?
Oh, it's crazy.
Again, I didn't get to go to the game. I didn't even get to watch it. Again, I was in work pretty much all weekend. But when I checked my phone during my break and it was 2-0. And then when my break was over, I was out on the shop floor. I see get a notification on live score, Jack Moylan 3-0. I let out the biggest shout you'll ever hear. I think a few customers got scared and they won't be coming back to the shop.
Is that because you were shouting or because you were there?
Probably a mix of both, to be honest, yeah.
I didn't travel myself. I was doing the game on Saturday, as I said, with Shauna. A tad bit hungover from a game tonight before, I won't lie to you. And I think actually I was telling Shauna about this before the game started on Saturday, and I think the mic picked it up. So for anyone listening on LOI TV who heard about my hangover on Saturday, I do apologise. I think me and Sean were talking about Milan and Naples as well, so it wasn't that bad. But I didn't make it up, but I did
probably
watch
pollen as well.
Pollen. I was attacked by pollen as well. Hay fever season, man. It's not good for you. But I watched the game myself on LOI TV, and I don't know if I'm not being critical of anyone here, but I couldn't stop laughing about obviously the three goals. Look, at Jack does really well on three occasions. You know, the first one finds himself in the right position, taps it away. The second one from a corner, I think the keeper does really poorly, and Jack puts it away again. And then obviously the penalty slots it in. He wasn't the traditional penalty taker either. So I think he said in the post-match that he napped it off Shane Farrell. Fair play to Shane for giving it to him, by the way.
And, yeah, I wouldn't think he'd be doing that, to be fair.
I definitely wouldn't. But I'm not a professional footballer, so what do I know? But he puts the penalty away. But on the commentary for the first goal, they were saying, ah, that's offside. For the second goal, it was, that's a foul on the goalie, And then obviously the third one was, it was never a penalty, but all three stood rightfully.
Well, to be fair, I'd argue that the first two were grand, but if personally, I did think that the penalty shout was a bit soft. Now, I'm glad that we got it, but if the roles were reversed and that was given against us, to be honest, I'd be fuming as well.
Yeah, but it wasn't, you know.
Oh, but it was it was still a penalty, you know.
Yeah, it's one of them. It's a tough one. But the team on the day, I actually got a text from you about. I think it was about. 10 past 7 on Saturday, wasn't it? I was like, are we playing 4-4-2? And I was like,
yeah.
I have no idea. So I suppose we start off with the defence, three at the back, five in defence, obviously. But the usual, it was J.R. Wilson, your favourite player, as you said, moving from right wing back to right centre back.
Has he ever done that before? Has he?
I couldn't remember if he did or not. So I can neither confirm nor deny. I probably should have known this before coming on. But I thought you'd done very well in the day.
Yeah, judging from the highlights, they didn't really get a sniff. You know, they had maybe one half chance from outside the box, but it looks like Kearns had it covered. But apart from that, we just look so solid defensively, you know?
Yeah, but this is the thing. I think JR, he's one of them. He puts absolutely everything to every game, leaves everything out there, and he just gives it everything. And when I seen him starting there, I was a bit wary, but he just grew into the game. He didn't really look out of place at all. Now he's beside Luke Bourne, El Capitano, and Shane Griffin on the other side, so he's in good company.
They'd probably make us look like good footballers, to be fair.
Yeah, well, I mean, are you saying I'm not a good footballer? No, the two lads, you're right. Honestly, Shane and Luke, I think we're blessed this season to have them there. Obviously, Paddy Barrett as well. was out of the game. I think he picked up a slight knock or something. But Shane Griffin, man, since coming back, I think he came back Paddy's weekend against Cork. He's been immense, man, since coming back. Obviously, he got the goal against UCD. How good has he been?
He's been class, you know. He's just so solid. He's so consistent. Like we say that about Lukey week in, week out. But especially this season, Griff has just been class. Like, I can't think of a single thing he's done wrong. Like, you know, and the way he plays out from the back, he's not afraid to kind of go out and push past into the midfield to try and make something happen, you know, which is quite rare for, I feel, a centre-half to do, you know?
Well, I think at times, and it's the good thing about this side, like, when the way we set up, you often need a defender to slot in. I think Paddy Barrett's done a couple of times where he slotted into midfield, and that just pushes the team forward, and I think Griff has done that really well since coming back. You look at, we could again, I said about Jesse Sabden, we could literally do a whole podcast about Luke Bourne and how good he's been. I think all of Conor Cairns' clean sheets so far this season, maybe Baron Bourne, have come with Luke Bourne in the side. So that just shows the effect that Luke has on us.
Yeah, 100%. He's over since he's joined, he's probably been our most consistent player. You know, he's I think Darren said it on a podcast previously, like, people sometimes kind of overlook him because he always gets like a 7 out of 10 on average, you know. So he's like you're saying, we're just so blessed to have him there, and he's a great captain as well. You can see he kind of tries to help the lads out around him, you know, and tries to rile everyone up.
Well, this is the thing. I just think you need standards in your side, and I think Duffer holds a very high standard for this team, and I think Lukey drives that standard. I think without Luke Bourne at times, not that the standard drops immensely or anything, I think that's the good thing about the squad, is we have the likes of Griff, Paddy Barrett, as I said, now Cameron Edwards, whenever he slots in, Andrew Quinn. Like, it's a very good squad, and I just think Luke exemplifies all of this, you know, with his leadership skills, and he's a lovely fella as well, isn't he? So he's great to have at Shells. And Conor Cairns again, 7 clean sheets and 15 now. What a signing he's been.
Best in the country.
I'll
come clean, and I'll admit that when we signed him, I was like, I knew he was a decent keeper, but all I had going through my mind was the playoff incident, you know. But yeah. I knew he was decent, but we're talking about shoes to fill earlier in this podcast, like Brendan Clark, you know.
Yeah, you took the words out of my mouth. I think anyone coming in after Clarkey would have had a bit of kind of trepidation around him. You would have been kind of going, what's going on here? I think Cairns has been great since coming in, man. I think the first few games, you could definitely see he was getting used to the side. His distribution is fantastic, by the way. His passing's out of this world.
Overall confidence.
Yeah, but I think he's grown in confidence. I think start of the season, you could see he was kind of like, you know, new setup, new team. But since the start of the season, I think it was a home to Bowles when we won 1-0. Shout out to Keane Levy. When we won that game, I just felt since then he's just grown so much more confident. I don't know why. Obviously, look, he's been great in every game since. He's been great in every game since come to Shells in general. But I think his confidence helps the team move forward as well. I think if he's shaky at the back, and, you know, I don't want to pick names or anything, but when we had Webb in goal last season, that kind of lack of confidence dripped through the team. You know what I mean? I think Conor Cairns just exemplifies what Duff wants from this team at times.
Yeah, just even if you compare this season from last season, like, I think the goalkeeper now from the start of the season, like, I don't know how many points, but he's definitely won us a few points, like, on the table. While you look at last season, and, like, you could argue maybe at the start of last season the goalkeeping position kind of cost us a few points nearly, you know?
Yeah, 100%. You look at the rest of the team. Shane Farrell comes back into the side, having been out through suspension. He got a good few minutes against Wexford and the Leinster Senior as well. He's very good. On the other flank was obviously Tariq Wilson, who I feel since coming in, probably a bit understated, underrated at times. I just think he's been so consistent since coming in. He hasn't really put a foot wrong. Himself and JR on either flank have been so good so far this season, haven't they?
Yeah, I'd say they're nearly like each other. Well, they're obviously they're brothers, like, but they just play so similarly in a sense that they just don't stop, you know.
You look at them midfield, you had Evan Carfrey, Mark Coyle came back in, JJ Lunny. Man, these are very good midfielders. Mark Coyle, like Jack Moylan, look at clear man the match on the day, hat trick. You can't take anything away from Mark Coyle. Ran him close to that man match on Saturday. He was everywhere.
It just goes to show, we've won a couple games with a lot of midfielders out, like, you know, and then it just goes to show what we can do when we have more options there, especially someone like Mark Coyle, you know, kind of comes nearly straight back in and just dominates kind of all over the pitch, you know.
Yeah, and Evan Carfrey, I think since that goal away to Drogheda, I don't think he's looked back all season, to be fair. I think he's been immense from game one. I think himself, JJ Lunny and Connor Cairns are the only three to feature in every game so far this season. And I think Jack Moylan, the only four to feature in every game so far this season. And it's not surprising based on the two lads in midfield's performance, is it?
No, based off performance like that, sure, the gaffer says it a lot. Duffery says it, like, you get an opportunity, you have to prove yourself, and the four of those anyways have definitely proved themselves, and you can see why he's kept them in there, like, you know.
You look at the front two on the day, Manny Smith, Jack Moylan. I think there was a lot of trepidation around when Sean Boyd got injured. I think a lot of people were worried about, you know, where the goal is going to come from, etc. And I suppose there was a bit of a period there where we weren't scoring goals, but we also weren't conceding that many. And these two have worked a little partnership together. And I have to say, where would we be without them? Like, especially, especially Matty Smith, but it's Jack Moylan as well, especially both of them. I think that's the point. The two of them have been so good together. And I think when either of them aren't playing, you really notice that they're not playing.
Yeah, 100%. When they've built up a really good partnership, haven't they? So, like, you just wonder when Boydie eventually does come back. Do we shift how we play, or do we, like, what's this? I suppose we'll enjoy it for now. That's a question for when we come to it. But the two lads together have been unbelievable. It's like they just feed off each other's energy, you know.
I think Ben said last week that Matty Smith was his favorite player at the moment. And do you know what? I don't think I can disagree with him. I'd say Matty Smith, like, I love Luke. I love all the lads. But I think Matty Smith, there's something about him. He's just a very good footballer, I think. Speaking personally, when I'm on commentary, he gives me the best Gary Neville kind of moments. You don't know where I go mad.
You've had a few with him, to be fair.
And it's always him. Do you know what I mean? I remember the game against Bowles last year in the Cup, the 3-0. I remember talking to Stewie after the game. And she was like, Matty Smith, man, he's made the difference here. He's just such a good player. And,
I think a lot of it is his work rate as well, you know. Yeah, I said it about the Wilsons, but you look around the whole team and everyone just runs themselves into the ground. And at the end of the day, that's kind of just what you want to see. Like, you want to see lads actually giving a shit, and you can clearly see that these lads do, you know.
Well, that's the thing. Like, every kind of match day when I'm preparing notes, whatever, you know, one of the things that always come out is Matty Smith's effort is just, he doesn't stop. Same with Jack Moylan. I have an interesting stat here about Jack Moylan. He has either scored or assisted 43.7% of Shell's goals this season. The average age of the leading contributors for the other nine teams in the league is 25.9%, so 26. Jack isn't 22 until September. 6 goals, 1 assist. The assist against Rovers from Matty Smith so far this season. My God, man, what a player we have in our hands.
Get the pen and paper out. Get the checkbook out, huh?
Sign the contract, big boy. Shout out to Mike Tyson.
I'm sure he's listening.
Man, what a player. Well, like, the 3 goals were taken so well.
Not even the goals, but even the Evan Caffrey chance, just the know-how to know that Evan's making the run, and just a little... Yeah. Back here, like, obviously it didn't end up being a goal, but just even bits like that throughout the game, like, you know, it's it's just top class, you know.
I think there'll be a pretty big price tag on his name if he was to leave Shelburne. I know Duffer was doing a bit of press for the game on Friday this week, and he was saying, you know, he was talking about the attitude towards players going abroad now isn't right and stuff. And I think if he is to leave Shells, and I sincerely hope he doesn't, you'll be garnering a big price tag for him, wouldn't you?
You'd like to think so, anyways. Obviously, we haven't a clue about what goes on in the background or what's what, but you'd like to think that a player of his quality, one, you could pray to God you can hang on to for a long time, but two, if you can't, be well compensated for it, like, you know.
100%. And just a quick look at the subs as well, I suppose, on the day. Jad Akiki, again, good minutes for Jad. He was the first one to come on for Mark Coyle. Jad's one of them, I think. Look at Duffer's praise him to the hills before, and I think he's so young, he's so raw, but I think his ability is there to be seen. I think he had an awful time with injury. But again, it just shows the strength of the squad. Like, this player is out, but a player like Jad Akiki comes on, doesn't look out of place. I think another player was a Ruby, comes on for Jack Moylan. He was very good against Wexford and comes on against Sligo, causes problems. There are two players from the academy again, man. It just shows the strength of the players coming through. The last one, Brian McManus, comes on with JJ Lunny. And I think Brian at times, you know, cracking player. He's actually one of my favourite players as well, Shells. But again, it just shows the strength of the squad that he's not getting as much minutes as, you know, well, he probably should. And I just think the strength of the squad is there for all to be seen.
Yeah, man, 100%. Like, you see, people are starting to come back from injury as well. So it's strengthening the bench as well. And just going back to Jad there, honestly, I'd say Jad is probably the most technically gifted player in the squad. You know, he's on the ball, like, the it sticks to his foot like Velcro, and he just glides past players. Can't remember the game. It was either the Cork game or the UCD game a few weeks ago, and he was stuck there between two or three of the Cork midfielders, and he just glides past them. You know, it's a pleasure to watch. It's a pleasure to watch. Yeah.
Like, you're looking at some of the players that are still coming back. I think Connor Kane's been back training. You know, we're missing Sean Boyd. We're missing Keane Levy. Gavin Malloy is another player, I think. If he were to leave, you'd be getting a big fee for him, as you would Jad Akiki. It's just such a good young side, isn't it? And, you know, even Kyle Robinson off the bench, I think if he gets firing, you have a real threat there as well. I suppose we look ahead to the game on Friday. St. Patrick's Athletic at Tolka Park, live on Virgin Media 2. If anyone who got that meme, I hope they got that meme. Virgin Media 2, 7:45 kickoff.
Can you explain it?
The big club on the telly again. Tickets are still available online. I'm not sure if they're available at the gate, but I'm sure all of this will be put across on the socials as the days go towards the game. Depending on results, Adam, we could find ourselves in fourth place come Friday evening.
Wouldn't be bad, would it?
Be all right, I think.
Yeah,
you'd take the start of the season. Yeah.
No, I think it'll, especially with Pat's getting their new manager in, or interim manager indefinitely. It'll be a tough game, you know. You always see teams get that new manager bounce, like, you know, they obviously they lost there to Rovers, but they didn't just lie down, you know. And Tala's never a easy place to go to. But so we'll have to be up for it, I'd say, if we want the 3 points.
Yeah, John Daly, of course, ex Rangers man. Interim in charge at the minute for Pats. I think it's going to be a very interesting game. I think it's going to be interesting to see how Shells line up. I think if you could kind of pick your 11 right now, do you think it picks itself, or do you think a few changes are made? I think Conor Cairns is nailed down in goal. I think the defence is probably where they're probably picking and choosing. I think back three, what would you go with? I think Barrett, Luke Bourne and Shane Griffin for me would be the three that I'd like to see starting.
Yeah, 100%. I'd put Luke in the middle, Shane out left, Paddy out right.
And then wing backs, I don't think you can look much further than the Wilson brothers again. I think they've been immense this season. I think it's going to be interesting to see how Duffer goes in midfield, because we've seen him go with the three. He went with three in midfield on Saturday against Sligo, and it worked a treat. Look, a 3-0 away at Showgrounds is a cracking result for any team. Do you think he goes with three in midfield, or do you think he goes with two?
I'd like to see him go with the three, because it's the old case of, like, you know, if it's not broken, don't fix it, you know? Like, I think it'd be very hard, it'd be very cruel to kind of take anyone out of that 3-0 win inside. Obviously, if Paddy Barrett's fit, yeah, you stick him in centre half. But, like, apart from that, you if anybody gets taken out, I'd be surprised, like, you know, unless there's knocks or anything like that. But it'd be very, very harsh to take anybody out of that.
Yeah, no, I completely agree. I'd just be interested to see, does he maybe go with, say, Coyle and Lunny in midfield, but then you're leaving out Caffrey, who hasn't put a foot wrong. You know, does he stick Farrell up front with Matty Smith and Jack Moylan? Does he throw Jadon Keeke in midfield? Like, these are headaches for the manager, but, like, these aren't bad things to have for any stretch of imagination.
Very good headaches.
Absolutely, and I think we would have, you know, we waiting for days like this. You know what I mean? We wanted days like this for years. I personally speaking, I would like to see Jadon Keeke get a start here. I think Jad, who for? I don't know, but I think in a game like this, you need that bit of technical quality. And not to say the other lads don't have it, but you said it yourself, Jad. He just adds a bit of a spark, doesn't he?
Yeah.
You could potentially go with Jad, Mark Coyle, and JJ Looney. You know, Jad, Evan Caffrey, JJ Looney. Like, it's it just shows how strong the squad is at the minute, with a few players out as well.
Sure, or even if you go with the two in midfield, you could have Matty, Jack, and Jad as the front three, nearly. You know.
Absolutely, and I think that's a frightening prospect. You know, if I'm the Pats defenders, on Friday evening, I'm not fancying that really. I suppose before we finish up here, we'll just touch class from Duffer, wasn't it, the weekend in his post-match interview with LOI TV, giving Ben Curtis a bit of a show, saying he'll never walk alone. Obviously, Ben took the decision to step away from football, struggling with mental health at the minute, which, you know, I think everyone supports him. I think Duffer, class act for saying it, wasn't he? And it's tough out there. It can be tough at times for people, and it's nice for people to kind of band together in moments like this, isn't it?
Yeah, like, for stuff like this, you know, all the kind of tribalism and rivalry kind of just goes out the window when it comes to someone's well-being, be that physical or mental, you know. And it's just good to see that everyone's getting around him, and hopefully he's doing okay, you know.
Absolutely, and it was a shout from Duffer as well to the away fans. There was a few away buses on Saturday evening. I think one bus got broken down, couldn't quite make it up to the game. But again, the support from Shells has been immense this season on away days. And there's been people that go into these away games for years. You know, you look, think of the Doyne twins, Theon Kieran, like Aidan Manifold. It's people who've been supporting this club for years. So it's always nice for the manager as well to show his appreciation for them. I suppose, Adza, before we finish it up, a quick prediction for Shells away to Sligo in the Women's Premier Division on Saturday, a big game.
It is a massive game. It's a tough place to go to.
They lost their last season as well.
I was just going to say that was with TG Carr showing it, wasn't it?
The TG Carr course was myself and Sean. Yeah.
Too right. I'm going to say 3-1 win for the Reds.
Right. I'm going to say a nice 1-0 win. I think Shells will take that right now if you offer it to them. Takes them up the table. And look, if Rovers were to drop points, they would go ahead of them. They are playing DLR on Saturday. And DLR were very good last Saturday as well. I think you have to credit them. But Shells just pipped them in the end. I suppose the big one, as we said, Virgin Media 2. Shells Pats, last season was 4-4 in Tolga Park. Myself and Andy McGowan were on commentary for it. And I remember the two of us as the game finished went, Jesus Christ, I need a lie down after that. Do you think
had a couple of Gary Neville moments then, didn't you?
I did. The less said the better. do you think we'll get something like that this Friday night, the game on the telly?
In terms of a 4-all, I don't think so. I feel like there's a lot at stake for both teams. So I think, if I'm being honest, I feel like it'll be a bit of a cagey affair. Mm. Not a lot of goals. Mm. So I have this one down for a draw, to be honest. I'd probably go with a 1-all myself, you know.
Yeah, I'm going to do the classic Mark Lawrenson. He's a young man who worked for the BBC. I think whenever he'd done predictions, he predicted Liverpool to win every game in the season.
Yeah.
So they would have ended like the season with like 120 points or something. I think Shells are in a very good moment at the minute. And I think they're playing as good as they've played under Dufferin. I think all the work that was done last season and this season, it's all come to a crescendo. I think this is the part where Shells, you know, potentially take it up another level. I'm going to go 2-1 to Shells, and I think Mike Smith's going to get a goal against his former side again.
You know what? You've convinced me, you know. You've swindled me here. I'm going to go 1-0 to the Reds. 1-0 to the Reds.
You've charmed me. but yeah, I suppose that's this week's podcast. I'm never usually the one in charge of these things, so Steve usually ends it with, I think, a few underage results. I actually haven't got them on me at the minute, so apologies for anyone checking in for that. But yeah, that was this week's podcast. Big shout out to Adam for jumping on. We were in dire straits and we needed you, and you turned up. So fair play.
No problem. Glad to be on.
Have you enjoyed it?
We did, yeah, to be fair. You know, it takes a couple of minutes to settling in, you know, with those questions. You're on the spot, but once you're in, you're in.
Come here, look at it's all for the love of the game, isn't it?
That's it.
As we said, do check out the games the weekend, the game on Friday night, the game on Saturday evening. Support both sides. We're in there for the long haul. And yeah, up the Reds.
This podcast was brought to you by Off the Ball, official media partner of Shelburne FC. For all the latest sports news, visit otbsports.com. One.